They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. And on the Commons with me today, we have a longtime TV news anchorman and investigative reporter who has experienced firsthand the horrors of HOAs. He has written a book called Neighbors at War, The Creepy Case Against Your Homeowners Association. And he maintains a blog at neighborsatwar.com. And, of course, he is none other than Ward Lucas. Ward, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're certainly welcome. It's always fun to talk to you, Sue.
Well, it's always fun having you on, and we've talked off the air as well. So don't remember what we did, but we did do a show before about the book. And
right.
I would recommend anyone who did not listen to it before to go to my website and listen to it, because we go into a lot more detail on the book in that show than we're going to go through today. So I want them to hear that, and I want them to, of course, listen to today.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Dr. Gary Solomon on, who has identified the HOA syndrome.
Right.
And last week we had Dr. Karen Huffer on, who is very concerned about the legal abuses that go on in courts and the things that happen to people who end up in court, the shenanigans.
Uh-huh.
Now, you've had personal experience with that. Tell us about it.
You know, as I told you before, I have never considered myself a victim, because I've always, I've had the kind of job as an investigative reporter where I've been in danger repeatedly over the years. I have gone to the heart of forest fires while they're fully burning. I've probably seen more dead bodies and more horribly mutilated bodies than any 20 police officers will see in their entire 30 or 40 year careers. So I've seen the trauma, and when stuff happened to me, it ticked me off, no question. But I don't think I was psychologically damaged. HOA syndrome, yeah, I probably felt a few of the things that Gary Solomon has talked about. And by the way, Dr. Karen Huffer, that interview you did with her a week or two ago, was one of the most powerful interviews I've heard on the subject of homeowners associations and the trauma they can cause people. I wish everybody in the world would listen to that interview.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's fun trying to bring together all of the different aspects and perspectives and sort of put them all on the table, basically, because this
right.
is such a complex and complicated issue. You know, they're coming at you from every single angle, Ward.
And every minute of the day, sure.
Yeah, it's nonstop. Mm-hmm. It's like darts coming. But you, all right, one of the things that both Gary and Karen talked about was the fact that there are dirty tactics, that they use dirty tricks to try to get you off balance, to gain the upper hand.
Right.
They did that to you, and in the book you say it was a voila moment, the true character of the people you were dealing with.
Sure. Now, may I mention, I know a lot about libel slander law, but may I mention the name of the Homeowners Association just to let people know that I'm not afraid to discuss the things that were testified to in, under oath and in court?
Absolutely.
Okay. I happen to live in the Willowbrook Homeowners Association in Morrison, Colorado. It's just a few miles southwest of Denver, Colorado, in Jefferson County. There is a, it's a an HOA of about 200 homes, many of them multimillionaires. It's a high-class community, single-family homes that sit on an acre, acre and a half, sometimes more, a piece of land apiece. So it's a little unusual as a homeowners association, but it's the kind of thing where you would expect to go to a 4th of July picnic and shake hands with all your fellow homeowners.
I'm giggling because they're some of the worst places in the world.
I did discover that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go on, Ron.
But, you know, it's a classy neighborhood and one that I wanted to live in back before I knew what a homeowners association was. In fact, I knew nothing about HOAs, and when we sat down, my wife and I, to the closing on the house. We're halfway through the closing, and I'm handed a stack of papers. By the way, read through this. It's just the covenants, the HOA covenants. And I said, what are these about? And the realtor said, oh, they're just a way of making sure you ask for permission before building an extra bedroom. So I didn't get to read these until after our mortgage was signed, sealed, and delivered. And as I read them, I thought, whoa, I guess I better be careful in here, which wasn't a problem. I wasn't going to do anything radical. But that's how most people get their first glimpse at the regulations, is in the middle of a realty closing, when there's no time to read 150 words of pages of fine print.
Well, in my case, it was handed to us after we had bought, and we had moved into the house, and a neighbor came by with a package.
Uh-huh.
And said, this is a welcome package from the Homeowners Association. I looked at it and I said, it looks more like a threat package.
Well, that happens in thousands, tens of thousands of cases across the country.
So I'm reading it and I'm telling my husband, you know, you can't do this. He says, when they pay my mortgage, they can tell me what to do. Okay. So I got on the board and I tried to make it a little more friendly.
Wow.
But the threat package, I mean, it was just unbelievable. This is a welcome package. You've got to be kidding me. Where are the cookies?
Yeah, I was stunned, as you were.
Well, then they adopted, I mean, this was going back a few years, then they adopted laws saying, you know, you've got to disclose this stuff. But the reality is, even if you sit there and read through stacks and stacks of stuff, there is no way that you will ever be prepared for what you're getting into. And when I had industry people in there and I said, well, why don't you tell them, lay it out for them, explain to them exactly what you mean, they looked at me horrified. They said, but nobody would buy into these things. I said, duh.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Funny thing, yeah.
Funny thing. But they put you on the stand and they started to ask you some really nasty questions, and you said that it was worse when they were deposing you.
Well, yeah. I mean, this followed a series of things that I did. I was trying to build a new house that was handicap accessible because my wife has late-stage MS. And I couldn't do that in my homeowners association, so I bought a piece of property adjoining the Willowbrook Homeowners Association. But, when we got to, and there were a number of confrontations. I had to sue to get water. I had to sue to get power. I had to sue to get the HOAs on either side of my valley to recognize that I had access egress easements, and they weren't allowed to park tractors on my road or weld a gate across my road, which was done in one case. But I've been in depositions over the years, and I've been asked some pretty ugly questions. But when they start getting personal in a deposition, and they start, in the case of that you're talking about, they happen to build about a half mile of fencing right down the center of my road.
Hey, guys, if you want to see a picture of a fence in the middle of the road, it's on page, I don't know what page it's on, but there's a photo of it there, proof positive. That they came in, but I remember your narrative.
Page 192.
Page 192. I remember reading some time ago when you said that you got home and you saw this guy building a fence down the middle of your road, so you went and got him a Coke?
Yes. It was a hot day in June. But, you know, that was just the final nail in the coffin, in my coffin, as it turned out. But leading up to my deposition, the chief witness in my case, the fellow that helped me take out that fence, had a gun pulled on him, pointed into his face, by a board member of the Willowbrook Homeowners Association.
Wait. Go back and say that again.
Okay.
The guy who helped you pull it out?
My neighbor, my tenant, who helped me yank out that quarter-mile, half-mile fencing, a fellow named Randy, at some point during that time period, before he was to testify in court on my behalf, a member of the Willowbrook Homeowners Association pulled a gun and stuck it in his face.
On your property?
No, it was at the entrance to the Homeowners Association. And I don't know all the details of that. I just know that it happened. It was testified to under oath.
Were the police called?
His wife was so frightened that she begged him not to call the police, and he did not. They should have been called. I advised him to call the police, but it didn't happen. But this was my chief witness being intimidated with a .457 Magnum pointed up his nose. His daughter was not allowed to get on the local bus stop at the only safe bus stop that there was, and that was immediately in front of his house. But he had to cross this invisible barrier to walk 2 feet to the edge of the road to get on the bus stop. The president of the Willowbrook Homeowners Association personally went to the school board and asked them to forbid him from allowing his daughter to board the bus there. It got more interesting than that. During the year or two that I was planning on building my house, we had multiple visits by members of the Willowbrook Homeowners Association. In one case, swastikas were painted on the house. Why? I'm not Jewish. Why paint a swastika? Do something else.
Why paint a swastika anyway?
Yeah, they would have done it to anybody, but they were swastikas painted on my house. Honey poured up and down my steps, honey or syrup or some thick substance, with the word Willowbrook Association painted across my front porch. We had thousands of nails thrown in the driveway. We had a bullet fired through a window in this millionaire's neighborhood. This is not gang territory, Shu. These are millionaires. These are doctors, prominent businessmen, radio figures, a soap opera star, dentists, you name the profession, they live in that neighborhood and should have known that this kind of garbage was going on.
Wow.
The death threats came almost nightly. For a year, year and a half, 2 years, to the point that we just...
Death threats.
Whatever, and hung up. Yeah, people threatening to kill us.
Oh, they would call. They would call you and threaten to kill you on the phone?
They called repeatedly. I had called the police on a number of occasions and said, what do I do? Well, we have lost some of the equipment that we used to have in the old days to trace phone calls. And in the late 90s, the police said, well, there's not much you can do unless you know who's doing it. We had an arson fire set on our front porch at about 2 o'clock in the morning one night. That was reported to the, I had a friend of mine on the arson squad with the Jefferson County Fire Department. I reported it to him, and he checked it out. Well, I knew some of the people involved and some of their kids. A lot of this was done by the kids of board owners, which is an interesting thing that Gary Solomon points out in his lectures, is that sometimes you don't have to worry about the board members. You have to worry about the kids because they hear this stuff happening with their parents, and they want to get even on behalf of their parents. And that's kids of people on both sides of a homeowners association fight. So, you know, it's just the attitude was so nasty. I started looking around and finding that there were a number of other people in our neighborhood who were going through the same kind of thing, including a number who had lost everything. They'd been drummed out of their houses. One of those was my next-door neighbor when I first moved in to Willowbrook. He had tried to sell his home, but his for sale sign was too large. And the nightmare, the horror that he went through led to his divorce. It was that stressful.
Over a sign?
Over a sign, a for sale sign.
A for sale sign that was too large.
I take it back. There was something else that he had done, and that was he had tried to park a motorhome on his property.
Good golly, what was he thinking?
Yeah.
His property, his own property, a motorhome?
Yeah. Wow. An acre and a half on a cliff on a hillside where maybe two people can see this motorhome. But, some outrageous things go on in these HOAs. So outrageous that they sound like fiction when I write about them on my blog or in my book. And we're talking about out-and-out war here. We're not talking about a couple of neighbors yelling at each other. We're talking about a war. We're talking about a fundamental deprivation of property, of money, of constitutional rights. And this country that we've had, I mean, this is a unique country. The first time in the 10,000 or 4 million-year-old history of mankind, depending on whether Homo sapiens or Homo erectus or whoever the Homo was that began the line of human beings, this is the first time in all of those years that we have had a constitution that laid out things the government was not allowed to do to us. That was our Bill of Rights. The government could not take away our right to religion, our right to free speech, our right to carry a gun, our right to keep soldiers out of our homes, a right to keep everybody, all government, out of our homes, unless there's an official warrant, with cause warrant, that is issued. All these rights were created to keep government out of our faces, our pocketbooks, and our lives, and our homes. First time in all these thousands of years. This is a magic constitution. It's the first one that's ever existed that gives this kind of rights to the average American. And we're in the process of throwing that away. We're in the process of trashing it, of changing it, of ignoring it, it's in my mind and my heart, it's a trampling on the American flag that we're doing by allowing these homeowners and the Homeowners Association movement, now I always use that in capital letters, by allowing these people to do what they're doing, we're totally and fundamentally transferring this Constitution that we love and have respected and that has protected us over 240 years.
It's the big lie. And there's something fundamentally wrong with people, I think, in the sense that they want to be taken care of. And so when you tell them that the association is there to protect their property values, to protect them from their neighbor doing something unsavory or unpleasant or unacceptable, people say, oh, yeah, I want it. Sign me up.
Well, those are the weak ones among us. Those are the ones you got to watch out for.
But the thing is, Ward, there is nothing in an HOA for the homeowner. I cannot emphasize that enough. There is nothing. HOAs were never designed with the homeowner in mind.
Well, no. HOAs were designed to keep Negroes and Orientals out of neighborhoods. Bottom line.
Those were the initial covenants. I'm not sure that you had the HOAs as we know them now. Today, the HOAs...
It still goes on, Shu. Still goes on.
It still goes on, but today the HOAs are mandated by local governments because the municipalities get free tax money. The homeowners get stuck paying the bill twice. It benefits the developers because the developers get to cram in more houses on smaller lots.
Yeah.
And so they increase their, you know, their finances coming into them. There's a multi-billion dollar annual industry out there that's sucking at the homeowner tit.
And by doing that, they are ensuring that the big lie that gets people into these HOAs, and that is, we protect your property values. They ensure that that lie is continued, and people who live in these HOAs say, well, at least my property values are being protected.
Right. My neighbor's not going to paint his house front door pink. Hey, who cares?
Yeah. Well, I don't care if somebody's door is pink. It's not going to lower my property values.
No.
And it won't lower my property values if I have a black man living on either side of me either.
No.
But there's just an ongoing lie, as you call it, the big lie, Hitler's lie. You know, nobody could have supported Hitler had he told the truth. Nobody can support these HOAs if they tell the truth from the outset. When you first buy that piece of real estate, if they don't stand there and say, look, this is what you're giving away, if we don't have a government that mandates that every home buyer be told, this is what you're giving away forever, if we don't mandate that by our government that every home buyer has to sign an acknowledgement that he was told that we don't protect your property values, and the reason we don't is that you're going to get sued, you're going to get fined, you're paying double taxes. If somebody falls at the front entrance and sues the place for $100 million, you're going to get a special assessment. In the Trayvon Martin case, a security guard gets in a beef, and whoever was right, I don't know, that'll come out in trial, maybe. But someone gets killed, his family sues the HOA, and that's not the last lawsuit that's going to be filed against that particular HOA in Florida. But with all of this baggage, you do not protect the value of your home. We need legislation that mandates that every person walking into an HOA acknowledges that.
You know, one of the other things that the industry is not too fond of recognizing or acknowledging is the fact that there's a tremendous amount of embezzlement that's going on.
I forgot to mention that.
You have a whole section. I love it. You have a whole listing of the known embezzlements, and I say that because I have always maintained that what comes out is the tip of the iceberg.
Shu, with those four or five pages of embezzlements, I would venture to say that represents 0.01% or less of the embezzlements that are going on.
And you're talking about millions and millions and billions of dollars.
Billions of dollars, yes. But look at it. You've got, I mean, there have been embezzlements from soccer moms from the local soccer club for generations. Here you have a nonprofit private corporation handling millions of dollars in homeowner dues, fines, fees, liens, auction houses, and no controls whatsoever. Not even two signatures required on a homeowners association check. You've got somebody with unrestricted powers to transfer that money to himself, to transfer that money to his brother-in-law to do the $20 million roofing project or insurance mitigation project to the neighborhood. There are no controls whatsoever. Sometimes other board members don't even know some of the secret deals that are being made to use HOA money to bribe relatives. It's endemic. I feel it's the largest unreported crime in America.
We call that Uncle Luigi. You know, we hire Uncle Luigi to come in and take care of problems.
Yep. Well, I mean, this is, as evidenced in the massive, massive HOA corruption investigation in Las Vegas, you could take that FBI investigation and put it in any city in the country, and I'm not talking just major cities, I'm talking about small towns, any place that has an HOA, and that FBI investigation is going to turn up the same kind of corruption in almost every single place that that investigative group is planted.
That's scary. I've covered stories of essentially the same thing happening out in the desert in Arizona,
yes,
down
California.
In California, down in Virginia. There have been a number of them. The big thing is Las Vegas. It's getting, you know, it's up in lights, really.
Well, it's here's the scary thing, Shu. It's not up in lights. As this story enveloped, there were no headlines on the networks. There were no big headlines in the national newspapers. It was ignored for four bitter long years while the FBI was exploring all of this, while the first 40% of the suspects named in the case were committing suicide under bizarre circumstances.
Yeah, are they committing suicide? I have a feeling that those were not suicides, and I interviewed...
I think they're out of those first... Well, anytime you have 40% of your suspects committing suicide, it's got to raise your eyebrows. But I think
you think?
At least half of those suicides, I think, were questionable.
Well,
all of this should have been making national news. It didn't.
Yeah, you're right.
It made the Las Vegas
Review
Journal and Darcy Spears Hall of Shame, and that was it.
You're right.
We should have been covering it in Colorado. We didn't know about it. So there's a real problem, and that is that these stories are not getting out there to the public. And, of course, with our news media collapsing, publishing industry, the newspaper collapsing in the wake of the 2008 recession, there are fewer reporters, there's less money to go out and report, fewer people are exchanging information. But in addition to the scary stuff we've been talking about over the past half hour, you've got a U.S. attorney and an FBI who can walk into an HOA at random and discover a massive organized crime scam that extends throughout an entire city. We are talking organized crime here.
Yeah, we are. Which leads me to the next thing that I want to talk about is the Fifth Estate. Since the mainstream media has largely ignored it, the thing is, the newspapers are available online, which is a good thing.
Yes, right.
And the bloggers have been sending this stuff out and linking to the news stories and posting them on Facebook and tweeting about them and blogging about them.
There's something magic that's happening right there.
Okay.
In that nutshell.
Okay.
And I refer to it in my book as the Fifth Estate.
Yes, you do.
The news media used to be the Fourth Estate. The Fourth Estate was referred to by, my mind slips me, a major political commentator a couple hundred years ago. We were called the Fourth Estate, the mob. You know, with the mob watching our legislature, we can't get away with stuff. Well, the mob has largely, the Fourth Estate, the news media, have largely collapsed. We have lost one of our major daily newspapers here in Denver, the Rocky Mountain News. Seattle has lost one of its major investigative newspapers, and that's the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. Newspapers are so fragile across the country, they're dying left and right, leaving nobody to investigate these stories. So along come the pajama-clad bloggers. And,
I love that description.
Yes, we work in our pajamas, we work at the computer, but what's left to call us by the term the Fifth Estate? We are. For the first time in history, more news is getting out there to the public through these pajama-clad bloggers than from traditional news sources. We're linking with each other. We're learning about each other. Now, our movement is way too small because all of us across the country know each other by their first names. We know Jonathan. We know exactly what state he's from. We know Jan, where he's from. I know that Shu is from Virginia. We know where Evan is from. Everybody knows each other by first names. That's how small our group is. But at least we're growing, we're linking to each other, and we're spreading stories, true stories, stories that we investigate on the web, about what's going on in these HOAs. And that has never happened before, as long as I've been playing around with the Internet. That's never happened. It is happening now.
You know, when I got on the Internet, when I learned how to turn on my computer,
mm-hmm.
I was the fifth homeowner. There were four homeowners out there who were on the Internet. They were on, you know, they were writing and they had connected with each other. And they called themselves the Fearsome Foursome.
That's funny.
And when
I got my first computer in 1985. And, of course, the Internet was not invented until Al Gore came along.
Oh, that's true.
But the World Wide Web was invented by a couple of Swiss scientists, I think they were.
In the CERN.
They developed the interface that became the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
And that was 92. My TV station didn't even have a presence on the web other than a, well, even up until 1997, all they had was a business card. That was our web presence for my TV station. So this is a fresh baby that we're tossing around here.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
It's wonderful because we're learning who each other are and we're spreading the word. We're a very small army right now, but we are pulling together the militants and saying, your Constitution is being trashed. You're now the sole people who have a chance of bringing it back. And you're entrusted with doing exactly that. That's our oath.
I like that, and I like the way you described that. Sort of, I like the way you described the Fifth Estate, and I like the way you highlighted that, because I think that this is going to be the biggest tool in our arsenal, if you will. Just
Absolutely.
Being able to tell the truth. When I started getting involved in all of this HOA madness, it was back in 1988. And I've said this a million times, I have never, ever, ever been victimized. So I'm not coming at this from any kind of a personal perspective.
Right. Well, I don't think I've been victimized. I certainly have been burned a lot, but I'm one who's fairly immune to burning of any kind. But,
yeah.
At the same time, I'm not coming at this as a vendetta, but I'd rather be called the Paul Revere of the movement. It's probably too late. You're the Paul Revere of the movement, but I want to at least have one of the patriots' names as part of the movement to save the Constitution. I'm not smart enough to be James Madison, but I'd like to be part of the Army.
You are part of the Army. You're a very important part of the Army.
Well, it's so incredibly important that people read about what's going on. And I hate to trumpet my book as the end-all, be-all. It's not. It was written from a journalist standpoint, to give you a little bit of human perspective against the massive nightmare that this HOA movement has become. But I don't care if I sell books. I want my book handed around. I want my book, if it's purchased by somebody, to be read by 20 different people.
I lost one of those.
What's that?
I lost one of my books, as you know.
I think I've probably given away 400 or 500 at this point. But it's incredibly important that
The book is... Tell us what the book is called.
Neighbors at War, The Creepy Case Against Your Homeowners Association.
And you maintain...
sale at Amazon. I just got notified that 10 Barnes & Nobles are going to be stocking it.
Awesome. We can't go into that, but tell me...
I'm sorry.
Tell us about your blog. Give us your blog...
The blog is at neighborsatwar.com.
Neighbors
and you have to keep in mind as you read this blog that I'm a longtime TV reporter. I had to take a complex story over 35 years and boil it down into a story that could be read in 90 seconds. So my stories are short. They're very pointed. They're very biased. I try not to bias my television stories, but I don't work for the TV station anymore, so I can be as biased as I want. But you'll get a good taste of the outrages that are out there in HOA America. We do talk about the embezzlements. We talk about the, what the story is this week. We talk about neighbors, crazy, crazy neighbors. There's a man who was just arrested for sexually abusing a peacock. How'd you like to be a member of that guy's neighborhood? But, no, there are nutty people out there. There are people who do carry guns who shouldn't be allowed to, and some of them are board members. Some of them are members of the audience. We're living in a very dangerous, dangerous time and a dangerous situation and a dangerous movement that has been set up to redraw the American Constitution into what I believe is the most fascist possible dictatorship. And that's what we're beginning to see emerge, even in the good HOAs. You're only one election away from totalitarianism.
There ain't no such thing as, there's no such thing as a good HOA. It's just one that you haven't discovered the horrors yet.
Right, right.
It's all lying there. It's all underneath. And the reason is because they're all built the same way and they're all subject to the same laws and they're all subject to the same vicissitudes of life.
And the lowest forms of life are the ones that seek power in that kind of an organization. They become your board members and your president.
Well, most people have better things to do with their time than to spy on their neighbors and to, you know, they don't get a sense of power by threatening people. And to them, that's not powerful. So most people, fortunately, most people are like that. It's the small minority that are not.
The small minority of people are the ones that seek these jobs. They're the retired. They're the bored. And I say B-O-R-E-D, bored people. Bored people become board members. And every once in a while, you get somebody who is just trying to do a good job and trying to change the system. They never will. Because it's like somebody walking into the mafia and trying to say, I'm here to change things. Can't do it.
Well, it can be done, but I tend to think of it as ping pong. Because, you know, you've got the ball on one side of the table, and then it's batted back and forth.
Right.
And so power is with the good people on one side of the table, and then somehow it ends up on the other side. So you kind of, and over the years, Ward, I have watched associations go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth where you have the bad people come on and they go absolutely crazy, and then you have some people who say, all right, I just can't take this anymore. I'm going to have to go in and clean this up. And they do, and then
Well, they get threatened off the board. They get scared off the board. Or they think, well, I did my part. Now I'm going to go back to my business and start making money again.
You can't, I mean, it's not something you can do forever.
Right.
It's not something you can do forever. So people need to get, people who are there forever, you know, there's a big problem. When you have people who go, I'm the board president. I've been president for the last 25 years of my homeowners association.
Be real suspicious of that.
You know,
fact,
there's a real problem.
In the Willowbrook Homeowners Association, as I write in my book, the president of the Homeowners Association called my attorney one day in the middle of our lawsuit and said, I'll pay Ward $75,000. If Ward will pay me $75,000, I'll get off his back. Those were the words. And that was testified to under oath, so I can say that without fear of being in a libel slander position. Besides, he's dead now. He can't sue.
So he wanted $75,000 to get off your back.
From me. And there's another extremely prominent member of the neighborhood who, just a couple of months before that, I was having a conversation with her and her husband. We weren't even talking about HOA problems, but they told me that the same gentleman had given the same kind of threat to them, except he wanted some artifacts from her grandmother's house. Her grandmother was a longtime collector of Old West memorabilia. Buffalo Bill Cody's vest, Jesse James picture. She just, over the years, had collected these fabulous things. He wanted them. And he made the same threat to her.
And
he said, look, I'll get off your back, but I want some artifacts from your mom's house.
Wow.
So this guy was out in the open with what he was doing.
Unbelievable.
And he was a longtime president, or self-appointed mayor of Willowbrook. Crazy.
Yeah. We're talking to Ward Lucas right here on the Commons, coming to you from a not very warm Fairfax, Virginia. And I'm Shu Bartholomew. Ward, we've been talking about changing society. It's a form of social engineering, and you have a number of interested parties who are involved in this. But the biggest number of people is the homeowners. How do we wake them up?
By doing what we're doing right now, but making the circle larger.
Making the circle larger, huh?
There was a fellow back in 1516 who wrote a book called Utopia. And he described this magical island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And his book Utopia, although it was written initially as a farce, came to represent what we Americans were looking for as we founded our republic, and sadly, as we created this escape from our Constitution. These neighborhoods are supposed to be utopian. I've not yet found a single homeowners association anywhere in the country that I would describe as utopia.
I haven't either. I absolutely haven't. And the sad part is that in some cases, and, you know, we'd like to separate out homeowners associations where you have actual old-fashioned owning your home and the land versus a condominium. But sometimes it's nice, as you get older, I think, there's something enticing about a condominium where you don't have to maintain the outside, where you don't have to deal with all of the chores of a homeowner. But you can still, you know, live in relative peace and comfort in your own home. But the whole system, the whole laws regulating condominiums, HOAs, they've just made a total mockery of the concept of homeownership.
Absolutely. Of course.
They've just totally demolished it.
In a homeowners association, you own, you're given a vision of what you own, and you get to brag to your friends, oh, I live in such and such HOA, as if anybody is looking at you jealously. But we know more now because of people like Shu Bartholomew and Jonathan Frederick and Jan Bergman and Evan McKenzie and all these people across the country who are suddenly talking to each other. This is a good movement. We sound a little bit loudmouthed at times, but I think that patriots did have to shout to get above the din.
Speaking of shouting, I want to go back to something you said when you talked about your blog, and you talked about editing things and having real short stories. And the importance of doing that.
Right.
I don't know how much you get, but I tend to get reams and reams and reams of just writing to the point where I don't have time to sit down and try to decipher what it is the author is trying to tell me. At the end of it, if I do make it to the end, and I'll be honest, I don't always. If I do make it to the end, sometimes I'm still sitting there scratching my head thinking, what are they trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. How can we get the point across that just focus on the issues?
Well, they're different people need to say and read different things. I am a longtime television reporter. I knew that I had 90 seconds to grab. In fact, I had, if I didn't grab the viewer's attention in the first 10 seconds, there was no viewer. She went off and continued making dinner or tending the baby.
Right.
To get her over to the TV stage, to the TV set, to watch my story, my first word, my first line, my headline had to be outrageous. And if that outrageous line sucked you in, you got 10 more seconds to make your point. And if they're interested in that 10 seconds, they'll watch a 90-second story. But that's the time limit. That's all you get.
90 seconds.
So we learned that in radio. We learned that in television. Advertisers will tell you the same thing. If you don't get their attention in the first 10 seconds, they're going to run out and grab a glass of milk.
Yeah.
So that's always been what I've lived with. It may be a little obnoxious at times, but you provide a service that nobody else does, and that's a one-hour show full of dynamite people like this interview you had a week or two ago with Dr. Karen Huffer.
Yeah.
Anybody that wants to get a good education, even better than Shu and I have tried to share today, you ought to listen to her show on the Commons, Dr. Karen Huffer, from a week or two ago.
It was last week.
Last week, okay. Listen to that show, download that show from On the Commons. I've listened to it four times now, just to try to focus myself, because she is so focused and an important voice in the HOA fight that I never knew was out there, and she lives here in Denver. So some of these people that you're interviewing are really powerful people, and they're coming out of the woodwork.
Well, no, I have to go find them, Ward. They don't come out.
Well, I realize that. But they're growing. I told you about the attorney that I'm going to have lunch with who I just learned is doing pro bono work for homeowners. And he's been on homeowners association boards for years. He got off because of the garbage he was seeing. There are people like this popping up. They are coming out of the woodwork. And Your show on the Commons serves a function that no one else does. Evan McKenzie's book serves a function that no one else does. Good things are happening. This is not a losing battle, in my mind. I think we are winning. I think our army is very, very small. But I think a whole lot of people have been alerted to the horrors in HOAs and wouldn't move into one if you tried to bribe them.
Oh, they don't. I've done this show for 13 years, so it's not brand new. It's been around for a while.
Right.
But, no, a lot of people don't want to go in. The problem is you can't find something that's not at an HOA. I think that Fairfax County is typical because of the mandates that started in the early 80s. And not only, right now the estimate is that over 90% of all housing.
New housing.
No. Over 90% of all housing in Fairfax is in an HOA.
Oh, yes. If you pick an area like that or Las Vegas, yes, you can use things like that. Southern Florida, same thing.
But what's happening is that the housing that is not in an HOA is dwindling. Because they're going in and they're tearing down these older developments that have been around because they don't make good use of the land, you see.
And what happens to prices when something becomes scarce? The value goes up.
The value.
10% of homes that are not in HOAs, their value rises as they become scarce.
But they're being.
So if you want to make money on real estate, buy outside of an HOA.
They're being condemned.
Yeah.
They're being condemned around here. Mm-hmm. And they're being demolished to make way for a new world. So it's not a pretty picture. It is a frightening thing. I mean, I don't know if anybody knows Arlington, Virginia, It used to be very close in to Washington.
I grew up there.
Little Arlington Colonials, they don't exist anymore. They're all high-rises.
I used to live, actually, for one summer on the old McCormick Farm outside of Arlington, just barely outside. But it was magical. It was 40 acres in the woods.
McCormick Farm. Was that in McLean?
It was right outside of Washington, D.C., as I recall.
I think it was probably in what's now McLean. Anyway, they're all gone.
That's tragic.
There was a what's really tragic, a lot of the land around here were land grants. And they've been passed down through the generations. But what Fairfax does to get this land is they will rezone it. They'll come up with a master zoning. And they'll decide if this were built out the way we've zoned it, then the tax income to the county would be X number of dollars. Therefore, they're cheating us out of this money, so we're going to tax the individual owner. There was a Christmas tree farm right up the road from me, and that's been turned into single-family homes because the owner could not pay the taxes.
That happens all over. We had a gorgeous horse farm, 120-acre horse farm, just right on the outskirts of Vail, Colorado, the ski community. They raised stallions there. It was one of the most fun things you could see on I-70 looking down at the south towards the town of Vail. But they raised the property on that horse ranch, so high. They kept raising it and raising it and raising it. They wouldn't give him the agricultural tax exemption until he just gave up.
Yeah.
And that's all beige barracks now.
Yeah.
That's a homeowners association.
It's all beige. And I love the description. Everything is beige. You know, beige is going to increase your property values, right?
Not in my mind.
It's the color beige that's going to do it, Ward.
See. How crazy are we? How crazy can we be?
I don't know. You just part of me laughs at them because they're so idiotic. And you think, can intelligent people really believe this nonsense? But then...
They do.
Do they?
These aren't stupid people moving in there. They're uninformed people.
It's not the people so much. I mean, they're buying into this notion. But the people who try to sell it to you we've got to do this beige because if it's any other color, property values are going to plummet. Hello? You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be joking.
Wow.
We've only got a couple of minutes left. Are you hearing from people? Are you getting a lot of response to your blog, to your book? Are people writing to you?
I'm getting about 3,000 new people every month on the blog.
Wow.
Not a whole lot of feedback yet. The number of hits have gone up every single month for the past 8 or 10 months. And we haven't yet seen a downturn in a single month, so I just have in my heart the feeling that people are paying attention. And we're seeing book sales climb slowly. We're in more and more bookstores, and that helps. And, of course, any time somebody reads the book and thinks, wow, I better show my neighbor this, that helps.
So you don't know how many people are reading it because people are passing the book along.
And that's good.
Yeah.
And shortly we're going to have an e-book out here available on my website.
Ah.
That will be coming out in the next, week or so. So we'll try to collect those people who like to read on those devices. I don't, but I'd like to accommodate them as well.
Oh, I love my Kindle. I love my Kindle. Absolutely love my Kindle.
Maybe somebody will give me one for Christmas.
I absolutely love my Kindle. But for a show, for books that I want to do a show on, I actually like the paper because I can sit here. It's easier to find things. I mean, you should see all the stickies that I've got in my book.
Yeah. I like looking at my 15-foot-high bookcase that still has all my old Ayn Rand and Gore Vidal, and all the books that I grew up on, sitting in front of me. So I've got a complete history of my life.
I've still got those, too.
Yeah, that's fun.
I've still got those, too. Ward, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sue, you are wonderful. You're a patriot, you're a warrior, and I love you.
Well, I love you, too, and thank you for writing the book, and thank you for joining me and spending time with me, and good luck.
Thank you.
And I hope you'll come back real soon.
Thank you very much.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.